Developing news tonight, buried by a history-making blizzard. Dozens killed, cities and towns slammed, neighborhoods still stranded, and a travel nightmare. 13,000 flights canceled. The ripple effect all across the country. 1 week to go until the vote in Iowa, a frantic sprint for Clinton and Sanders, Cruz and Trump. But is another New York billionaire about to shake up the race? A massive manhunt for three dangerous inmates who masterminded a daring escape from a maximum security jail, rappelling from the roof to freedom. And a new warning tonight about the gender gap between men and women when it comes to having a heart attack. Knowing the signs and the differences between the sexes that could save your life. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There will be no quick bounce back from the blizzard of 2016. Its punch was too much. Snow measured in feet from Washington to New York, paralyzing entire cities, cutting off neighborhoods, some left flooded, and grounding thousands of flights, assuring its impact would be felt nationwide. Storm-related deaths have now reached at least 40. The financial impact at $850 million. So many people and so many things affected, but the recovery, albeit uneven, is underway. And we have full coverage, starting with NBC's Miguel Almaguer in Washington, D.C. Miguel, good evening.
Lester, good evening. This may be the largest snow dumping center on the entire East Coast. Much of the snow from the Washington, D.C. area is brought up to this old football stadium. The operation here is massive. The trucks have been coming in and out of this area for hours, hauling snow all the way around this parking lot. And the cleanup, that's far from done.
It packed a punch and crippled a region. Tonight, millions are still buried under snow and ice.
The roads are completely impassable. This is absolutely terrible.
We are all stuck.
Plows have been abandoned and many roads untouched.
I've done the part I usually have to do. The part they're supposed to do isn't done.
In Washington, D.C., the government shut down again. Schools and businesses are closed. For first responders, a state of emergency.
Is you going to try to pull some of this out?
Some stuck in the snow. In Round Hill, Virginia, an ATV will only take you so far. We reach this community by foot.
This is the only way in and out, huh?
No plows on these streets for days.
We feel trapped, you know.
Neighbors have shoveled their way to each other, but they have no way out. For Courtney Krause, the road was her lifeline. Her three-year-old son, Braden, has heart disease.
If he needs serious help, it's a matter of minutes, maybe even seconds. And here, we don't have that. They can't get to us.
The historic snowfall was expected, but for some cities, the big amounts, a huge surprise. Records in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New York. With all the snow came plenty of problems. Roofs are down on businesses, barns, and homes. Today in Queens, the roads are a mess. But classes went on. School buses slipping and sliding. As much frustration here as there is snow.
My daughter has to go to school. She has after school. We can't even get through.
Tonight across the East, this is the big dig. But as the temperatures plummet, they're worried tomorrow will be the big freeze. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Washington.
This is Jacob Rascone along the Jersey Shore, a direct hit along the southern coast.
Our operations today is really focusing on anybody that's calling in for property checks. So we'll get a lot of calls for gas leaks or electrical fires and things like that.
It was the worst flooding the town of West Wildwood has ever seen. Hundreds of homes surrounded. Dozens had to be rescued. The massive winter storm causing record high tides, West Wildwood, suddenly a virtual island.
The water is mostly gone, but so is the seawall that protected the town. Now a mangled mess. Town officials call the damage here catastrophic, and with another storm on the way, they have to rebuild fast.
For us, this is worse than Sandy. We had
We had, we think, 6 to 8 inches higher this storm than we did in Sandy.
This morning, Governor Chris Christie responded to critics who question why he was back on the campaign trail in New Hampshire.
There is no residual damage. There is no residual flooding damage. All the flooding receded yesterday morning.
Obviously, this isn't a minor situation for us.
Barbara Williams woke up to this.
Just a mess. I don't know who's going to clean it all up. We can't.
Debris everywhere you look. Boats hundreds of feet from their docks. And with the possibility of another storm, a scramble to prepare yet again.
The mayor estimates that the overall damage here to be in the millions of dollars, whether it's home repairs, removing debris like this, or rebuilding the critical seawall, which will happen as soon as the town can find the money to do it. Lester?
All right, Jacob, thanks. And then there is the travel nightmare from this massive blizzard, still not over. Today alone, 1,600 flights in the U.S. were canceled. That's in addition to the huge backlog of departures and arrivals scrubbed over the weekend. Our Tom Costello has more on the huge struggle at airports to get back on schedule.
At the major East Coast hub airports from LaGuardia to Philly to Washington, day three of the big dig out. At Reagan National Airport, enough snow to fill a football field dumped into a massive new snow melter. While the runways were clearing, the parking lots take a lot longer. And without parking spots, passengers and employees can't get inside.
So these guys are pushing and hauling snow from sunup to sundown.
We're going home, guys.
After days of empty gates, finally today, the runways and ramps were reopening. American alone brought in 41 planes by noon to jumpstart operations. Mariana Bashara spent last night on the floor here.
I was lucky that I was, like, sleeping on the heater, so I wasn't that cold.
Nationwide, a staggering 13,000 flights canceled since Friday morning. Flight Radar 24 captured Washington's normally congested airspace nearly empty of air traffic on Sunday. At JFK in New York, Delta Airlines managers say it's their biggest recovery effort since Hurricane Sandy in 2012. The challenge now, getting all of the planes and crews back into position nationwide, then reassembling a flight schedule to get passengers where they need to go.
We're operating the full schedule today, but for the airline in whole, it would take a couple days to recover.
And it's not just air travel.
Waiting for a train. Hopefully our train's not going to be canceled.
Amtrak on reduced service today, though it never ceased operations during the storm as it cleared 400 miles of track. Tonight, from rail to road to runway, a slow rebound on the East Coast.
FlightAware predicting we'll see pretty close to normal operations tomorrow. On Wednesday right now, very few cancellations in advance. And this may have happened at an opportune time because, really, this is really one of the lower periods of travel across the country this time of year. Very few people are on holiday or vacations, and that makes it a bit easier to resume normal operations. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thanks. To politics now. 1 week until Iowa and high drama down the stretch on both sides. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders locked in a neck-and-neck battle as Ted Cruz tries to fend off Donald Trump's momentum. Each focused on the numbers that count. And we've got it all covered, starting with NBC's Hallie Jackson in Iowa. Hi, Hallie.
Good evening, Lester. Republican Party leaders here in Iowa tell NBC News they're getting ready for record turnout 1 week from tonight, something that could help Donald Trump. But with as many as 4 in 10 people saying they'll wait till the last minute to make up their minds about who to support, what happens over the next 7 days, these closing arguments will make a difference.
From the back of the pizza chain where she works, Angie Point watches candidates swing by for a slice and a speech.
With 7 kids at home, I do like homeland security is a really big issue. I want to keep my kids safe.
You said top two. Who are the top two?
In between Trump and probably Ted Cruz.
But just recently, she's decided on Trump. And she's apparently not alone as he surges 11 points here. Ted Cruz slipping 4. What's changed?
I like Ted Cruz. He's been very nice to me.
Trump's tune.
And he's a nasty guy. And he brought it up at the debate. He started it. I finished it.
Hammering Cruz for days on his eligibility, his positions on ethanol and immigration, and his personality. Trump supremely confident and taking aim.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
Cruz hitting back.
You spent 6-7 months hugging Donald Trump, embracing him. So how are people supposed to believe you now when you say he shouldn't be their pick?
Yeah, I'm happy to have a conversation.
about how Donald's and my records differ when it comes to defending life.
Cruz today getting backup from former rival Rick Perry as his supporters hope to sway Iowans with new ads.
Does this sound conservative?
I am pro-choice in every respect.
And the rest of the field just trying to not finish so far out of the money that it appears that they just have no shot at the nomination.
Including Marco Rubio, looking to get hot late, getting the nod from the state's biggest paper and standing side by side with freshman star Senator Joni Ernst.
Well, there's only 7 days left, so I don't think people should be worried about peaking right now.
Under 170 hours and counting. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Manchester, Iowa.
I'm Andrea Mitchell as the Democrats make their closing arguments.
He said, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like my head versus my heart. And I said, well, you can have it both.
Each trying to connect to voters.
And it's so hard to do anything to pay your bills. You're ashamed all the time. It's just hard.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Until millions of people who are experiencing exactly what you guys are experiencing do say that, we don't make change.
Both candidates are counting on field armies, paid staff, and thousands of volunteers. For Democrats, Iowa caucus rules are more complicated than for Republicans. Candidates have to meet a minimum threshold of supporters in each caucus to even get votes. Clinton posted an animated how-to manual today.
And it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Sanders' team produced a video Friday.
If you're going to be 18 by election day and you're an Iowan, you can caucus.
The map shows the challenge for Sanders. His supporters are concentrated in three counties that have college towns. But to win, he needs first-time voters to show up all over the state. So he's riding a bus to get to far-flung rural areas and also telling college students, go home.
We hope they'll go home and visit their parents and not only go to their own local caucus, but bring their parents with them.
We're geared up. We think our field operation has been extraordinary.
For the first time, President Obama with Politico seemed to be trying to tip the scales for Clinton.
She can start here day one. More experience than any non-vice president has ever been who aspires to this office.
And in an unpredictable year, now the threat of a third-party challenge from multi-billionaire Mike Bloomberg. The former New York mayor might run if Sanders is the Democratic nominee and if Trump or Cruz gets the Republican nomination, a decision Bloomberg won't make until March. Lester?
Thanks, Andrea. There is breaking news from Texas. A grand jury investigating undercover footage of a meeting with a Planned Parenthood official has cleared the organization of any wrongdoing while instead choosing to indict the anti-abortion activists involved in making the videos that provoked so much controversy. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams is in Washington with late details. Pete?
A surprising turn, Lester, in an investigation requested by the governor of Texas, who wanted to know if Planned Parenthood broke any laws. The question arose after anti-abortion advocates made videos that appeared to show representatives of Planned Parenthood talking about selling tissue from aborted fetuses. Those videos quickly became a sensation. But now it's the makers of the videos who've been indicted. Two face charges of tampering with government records. One is accused of violating state laws against buying human organs. That's a misdemeanor. The Harris County, Texas district attorney says tonight, quote, we must go where the evidence leads us, and says the grand jury cleared Planned Parenthood of the Gulf Coast of breaking any laws. So that brings to 12 the number of states where investigations have cleared Planned Parenthood. No comment tonight from the organization that made those videos, Lester.
All right, Pete, thank you. In California right now, a massive manhunt for three dangerous inmates who pulled off an elaborate, daring escape from a maximum security jail. As NBC's Joe Fryer reports, authorities are now pleading with the public for help.
3 days after a brazen escape from a maximum security jail in Orange County, investigators are pleading for the public's help.
These three are extremely dangerous felons and need to be apprehended and brought back into custody immediately.
The escapees were housed in a large cell that holds about 60 inmates. Photos from inside show the men use tools to cut through a steel screen in their cell, then enter the jail's plumbing tunnels, making their way to an unsecured part of the roof. From there, it's believed they fashioned ropes out of linens so they could rappel down the side of the jail, five stories in all. The inmates were last seen Friday morning during a 5 a.m. headcount. Investigators believe they escaped shortly after, pointing to this grainy surveillance video which shows moving movement on the roof. The jail did not realize they were gone until the next head count at 8 p.m., which means the inmates might have had about a 15-hour head start.
It's creepy. You don't know if they're still in the area.
All three suspects are accused of violent crimes. Hossein Nairi is charged with kidnapping and torture, Baek Jung with attempted murder, and Jonathan Tew with murder.
I hope somebody catch them soon. Soon enough, they're dangerous people.
At this point, investigators say there's no indication the escaped inmates have left the country.
We feel that they may be embedded somewhere in the community, and that's why we're reaching out to the community.
Investigators don't know how the inmates got the tools that were used to cut through all of that metal, and it's unclear if any accomplices were waiting here outside the jail to pick them up after they escaped. Lester.
Joe Fryer in Southern California, thank you. Still ahead, a wake-up call for women about their hearts. A new study on the big gender gap in heart attack treatment, why women need to be on the lookout for different symptoms than men. We're back now with a new warning about the number one killer of women, heart disease, and a big gender gap when it comes to having a heart attack. The symptoms are very different between the sexes, leading some women to ignore the signs their body is telling them. As NBC's Ann Thompson reports, knowing those signs could save your life.
When it comes to treatment for heart disease, it is still a man's world. In a first-of-its-kind report on heart attacks in women, today the American Heart Association says heart disease remains undertreated and underdiagnosed in women. It starts with a difference in symptoms. Men tend to have severe chest pain before a heart attack. Women's signs can be more subtle, including shortness of breath, nausea, and jaw pain.
Did you have a happy day?
Catherine Weilman, an active mother of two with hereditary high cholesterol, was just 39 when a heart attack sent her to the hospital.
I had a challenging time getting even the hospital at the time to accept me because I didn't look like someone who should be suffering from an event.
With this new information, cardiologist Dr. Jennifer Merez hopes treatment of women will improve.
This statement gives us a roadmap as a clinician to look at some of the gender differences with heart disease.
Take risk factors. Researchers say women with high blood pressure have a stronger risk of a heart attack than men. And a young woman with diabetes, her risk for heart disease is 4 to 5 times higher compared to young men. The risks are even greater for minority women.
In those communities, African American and Hispanic, high incidence of hypertension, diabetes, obesity, inactivity, and exposure to chronic stress.
The good news is simple lifestyle changes can make a huge difference. An astonishing 80% of heart disease and stroke are preventable. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New Hyde Park, New York.
We're back in a moment with the accidental half marathoner who had other runners doing double takes. The Michigan Attorney General today named leaders of an independent state investigation into the toxic water crisis in Flint, but it could take months or years to restore safe drinking water for the city. Today, outraged residents gathered on the steps of City Hall, furious that they're still getting bills for lead-contaminated water service. We love this story from Alabama. Meet Ludivine, a 2-year-old bloodhound. While much of the country was bundled up this weekend, she was out running free after escaping from her backyard. She took off and somehow found her way into a half marathon being run nearby. She ran the entire way, and here's the kicker. She finished 7th with a time of 1 hour 32 minutes, even has a medal to prove it. That'll do it for us on this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.